you would this evening turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read two verses there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I was recently looking over some Bible study books. One of the books taught on soul winning. The other was about prayer, and the other was about the topic of the Holy Spirit. Each of these three books were by different authors, yet they all contained one instruction that had to be done before the topic or the issue of soul winning or prayer or understanding the Holy Spirit could really be done. The topic that started each of these three books was a very simple point. We've all probably heard it many times, but each of these authors, godly men, wrote many books, helpful books, was this: before any of those things can be started, a Christian has to renounce their known sin. Here in our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." I'd like to look particularly this evening at the first part of verse 2, "But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that we have a place here to gather, to fellowship, to sing, to give, to serve, but also, Lord, to open your word and to understand what it says. And I pray, Lord, as we look into this basic of Christianity, a Christian life, that we'd not forget it, that we would examine our lives and make certain, Lord, that we're doing this most critical thing, Lord, as we're serving and as we're working and as we're trying to raise our families for you. God, we don't want to overlook this important truth, and I pray we'd be reminded of that this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every sport has its basics, and it's interesting for me to hear occasionally a successful coach, talk about having his professional players go through the basic drills that even a high school coach or an elementary coach has his players go through. And what we find is that every sport, if the people are going to stay successful in it, they have to go back to those basics. They have to have those down. I don't follow the NBA like I once did. Years ago, I followed it a lot. But I don't now because I think there's a culture there that's very anti-God. But I heard recently just a little bit about the coach for the Spurs, San Antonio Spurs, kind of an old-fashioned coach, and his players were getting soft and giving up rebounding. Rebounding is a basketball basic. And so he brought in a boxer and had his basketball players, professionals, put on boxing gloves and box each other to get used to rebounding better and being tougher at rebounding. Vince Lombardi, very successful football coach, he was known for drilling his professional football players, men, 25, 30, 35, 40-year-old men, through the very basics of football over and over and over again, because he understood that without the basics of football, they weren't going to be successful. This basic act of the Christian life, one of the basic truths of the Christian life, is that we need to regularly renounce our sin. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, Paul says. It's not deep. It's not difficult to understand. It's simply this: when we know something is sin, we have to renounce it. And that comes before prayer. That comes before witnessing. That comes before really knowing the Holy Spirit. We have to face, know our sin. We have to renounce it. We have to turn our backs on known sin. The word renounce, what does it mean? The English dictionary says it means to officially state that you're going to abandon something. Another definition was to refuse to recognize something any longer. And then a third definition is to make a declaration that you will no longer engage in or support something. There's some words that go along with this word renounce: reject, repudiate, abandon, disown, spurn, shun, deny, forsake. The Bible says that sin should not have dominion over a Christian, but it will unless we regularly take a stand and abandon the things that we know in our lives are sin. Unless we regularly refuse to recognize that thought or that action any longer. Until we definitely and regularly declare that we are no longer going to allow that action or that thought to be a part of our lives. Or to start doing something that the Bible clearly says we are to do. Harper Smith was born in 1873 in New York, and he eventually settled in Cleveland, Ohio, where he became the song director of what is what come to be known the Euclid Avenue Baptist Church in Cleveland. This church is also known as the church of the famous John D. Rockefeller. In 1903, Harper Smith wrote words and music for a hymn that we sing today. The hymn is entitled, "Make Me a Channel of Blessing." The last verse of that hymn reads this: "We cannot be channels of blessing if our lives are not free from known sin. We will barriers be and a hindrance to those we are trying to win." In 1924, Harper Smith was chosen to be the song director for the Republican National Convention, which was held that year in Cleveland, Ohio. Can you picture a fundamental Baptist song leader leading hymns at the Republican National Convention today? It's funny to even think about that. Why it's not funny back then is because we had a country that renounced sin. And so it was not unusual for them to find a song leader who had written songs like "Make Me a Channel of Blessing" to lead the convention in songs and hymns that worshiped God and praised God. I think if someone tried to do that today, they'd get kicked out. We're not even sure in 2 years for the Republican convention, they don't even know what they believe about homosexuals and same-sex marriage, let alone wanting to hear a fundamental hymns being sung. Our country once renounced sin, so our country was a godly place. At least the laws and the courts defended godliness. And when a country stops renouncing sin, then a country, the culture of a country, begins to decay. We won't be the first country that sees this happen. We can just read through history. It's happened hundreds of times to countries that have decided that as a government, they're going to accept sin rather than renounce it. Well, just like America is decaying rapidly, so will a Christian decay. So will you or I if we don't renounce known sin in our own lives. That song says that we will be a barrier and a hindrance to people that we're trying to win. Well, who are we trying to win? We're trying to win people that are on their way to hell. We're trying to reach people that no one else in independent Baptist churches. It's hard to find a church that has a soul winning program. But we're trying to reach the lost. We're trying to reach our area or counties around us with the gospel. We will be a barrier and a hindrance. We're actually working against God's work if we don't renounce our known sin. Since one of the basics in our Christian life is to renounce sin that we know, we have to know where to go to identify our sin. And that's not a hard place to figure out. The Bible is very clear and very plain about what sin is. It goes throughout Scripture identifying actions, examples, direct commands, things that are not to be done, explaining what sin is. The Bible is full of commands and examples of what sin is. Some sins are violating God's commands. In other words, us doing things that the Bible says we should not do, while other sins are neglecting God's commands. That's us not doing what we should do. And while the scripture is plain about sin, it's up to us to either renounce that sin when we see it, or to embrace it, or to let it stay. If we're going to pray, we have to renounce the sin that we know from the Bible, that's sin. If we're going to witness in God's power and in God's way, we first have to renounce the sin that we see in the Bible. And if we're going to know who the Holy Spirit is and what He can do, we have to first abandon, declare that we're no longer going to be a part of sin, that the Holy Spirit has shown us through His Word, that it's plain for us to know. Why do you and I find ourselves sometimes so messed up with sin? Because when we've seen it in Scripture, for whatever reason, whatever was going through our mind at that time, we chose to ignore it. We weren't really thinking that that applied to us. That was for somebody else. And so some time goes by, maybe several days. And those several days turn into several weeks. And what happens, it's like a guy that's got a big yard, and maybe he has limbs that have fallen down, or he's got to collect these limbs up. So he takes one limb and he starts a brush pile, and he puts that limb down in that pile. And then he gets some more limbs, and he keeps filling that pile up. And some few weeks go by, a few months, the whole summer goes by. And at the end of the summer, it's getting near fall, getting a snow before too long. He says, I got to do something about that pile in my backyard. And then he goes in the backyard, and he's got this huge pile, and it's all tangled up. It really just got there one limb at a time, but because the limbs just sat there and kept growing into a big pile, he ends up with a huge job at the end of the summer, a huge limb pile, and sometimes he has to tug on those limbs to pull them out because they're all tangled up together, and he's got to work, and it takes a lot of work, one by one, to get those limbs taken care of, which would be a whole lot easier if when it was just one limb, it got disposed of right then. But when we don't renounce sin that God shows to us, we're just making a huge pile in our life. And at some point, we have to deal with that. At some point, we have to deal with it. Otherwise, the pile just grows to where that's all our life is. It's just filled with sin. And God wants us to deal with it. How much better is it to see it, to renounce it, and to go back to prayer, and to go back to witnessing, and to go back to knowing the power of the Holy Spirit right away? How much time is lost because we delay in renouncing known sin? Not just time. How much of a barrier are we to God's work when we let that pile build up? We will barriers be and a hindrance be. And so one man said this. This is R.A. Torrey. He asked some people this as he was speaking to them. He says, do you desire to see the power of God in your Sunday school class, in your personal work, in your preaching, in your training of your children? Pray for it. Hold on to God until you get it. At all events, if we are to know the fullness of power, we must be men and women of prayer. That's a tremendous statement right there. That is clear, that is simple, and that is something that it's for all of us to do. But we have to remember what the Bible says in Psalm 66:18. We all know this verse. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So the very thing that we need in order to have the power of God in our Sunday school class or our bus routes or our junior churches or Jolly 60s or teaching in college or academy or whatever we're trying to do for the Lord, the very thing that we need in the personal work, in the canvassing that we're doing and going to do throughout the course of this summer. And the very thing that we need in the training of our children is prayer, and yet that is hindered if we're not renouncing our known sin. The work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the lives of others who we care so much about is stifled when we don't first renounce our known sin. One man said this: a Christian who does not judge his sins, who does not honestly turn from known sins, loses the power to win souls. And the ability to win souls, ultimately, he loses his heart for soul winning altogether. Willingness to leave any known sin is essential for the soul winner. That's John Rice. I'd like to just take a minute and read that one more time. A Christian who does not judge his sins, who does not honestly turn from known sins, loses the power to win souls. And the ability to win souls, as well as the heart for soul winning. Willingness to leave any known sin is essential for the soul winner. Our church has to be a church with members in it that are renouncing their known sin if we're going to be a church that is going to fulfill the Great Commission for our area as well as for how we can and have affected the world. It boils down, starts with us dealing with our known sins. We can read about witnessing, we can even go out and knock on doors, we can participate. But unless we've renounced all known sin, there's a barrier between us and God. We're going to try on our own, but we will fail. There is thousands of churches that have stopped reaching the lost in their area. And some people say, well, why do they stop doing that? I think this is a large part of it. I think probably they didn't stop right away. But I think there's probably a lot of sin that wasn't being renounced. And so soul winning became just a going through the motions, just showing up and doing God's work robotically. No Holy Spirit, no prayer, because the barrier was there. And how many people around the country now, how many areas around the country are there, county after county, that should be being reached by a independent Baptist soul winning church that lost their sensitivity to their sin, and in doing that, they lost their love, their heart of the soul winner. They lost their desire to please God. They've been taken in by the comfort of the world. The world is always going to be a very comfortable place for people to go to, unless we're renouncing our known sin. If we renounce our known sin, then the world becomes dangerous. The world becomes sinful. The world becomes something we want to abandon, except for reaching them and pulling them out of the fire. 1 Peter 3:2 says, 12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Oswald Chambers said this: before the Spirit of God can bring peace of mind, he has to clear out the rubbish. And before he can do that, he has to give us an idea of what rubbish there is in our hearts. In the early days of Christianity, we read about men like John Bunyan, who spent over 10 years in prison. He could have gotten out after just a couple years. He could have gotten out and gone free. But he told the sheriff there that if you take me out, I'm going to do exactly the same thing that you put me in here for. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to preach if you let me out. They said, well, you just stay in there. And he ended up put over top of a prison, which is over top of a bridge there in London. He spent years there. And among the other things, he wrote, of course, many useful, good books, but he also wrote some of his struggles with his sin. And when you talk here, read about John Bunyan, we tend to think that he had some special spirituality, but he really just struggled over his sin. He brooded over it. It beat him up, and he fought. He struggled with his sin, And he took that to God, and he asked for forgiveness, and he struggled, and he brooded over it. Now, we compare that with what is done with people who have a sin problem today. Today, people that have a sin problem are sent to the psychiatrist or sent to the psychologist. And what a bad place to go to try to get the sin problem taken care of. Because what they will teach and what they say is to forget all about sin. To forget about it. This is not, you should not be dwelling on these things. You shouldn't be, you need to let that all go. God says, renounce, face it, renounce it. And the psychiatrists are now trying to manage the sin problem. To a psychiatrist, a disturbed conscience is a bad thing. But it's a useful place for us as Christians to go to. It's a useful place for us to be. Because the next step after a disturbed, convicted conscience, the next step is to take that sin and recognize it and renounce it and abandon it. Then what happens? There's peace, the peace of God, that passes all understanding. Not even the psychologist could understand that. It passes all understanding. We can't even understand it. The peace that we get when sin that we know has been renounced. What happens when a Christian decides they're not going to renounce their known sin? It goes something like this. First, that sin will put on a disguise so you don't see its real character. Sin always comes in disguise. Secondly, the Christian finds relief in the thought that, well, I can never be perfect, and I'm going to sin every day anyway, and I'll never get it all together. And then thirdly, he gets used to the thought of sinning, and then eventually loses the desire or the ability to mourn or to cry or to be desperate about their sin. Because it's just going to come around every day anyway. Do I want to spend all my days mourning, all my days crying? It's just who I am. You know, from this pulpit, how many times have we all heard this statement, if you ask God to show you your sin, he will. I've heard that so many times. If we ask God to show us our sin, he will. How can you get back to the place where you want to know your sin? So that you can renounce it. You have to want to know your sin first. We can walk around with our hands over our eyes our whole life if we want to. But you can get back to the place where you want to know what your sin is so that you can renounce that and abandon it. And really, there's two things to get us back to that place. If we first off would just remember what God Almighty thinks about our sin, that'd be step one. What does God think about our sin? We find that in the Bible. What did God think about Adam and Eve's sin? What did God think about the sin, the disobedience of Saul? What did God think about the sin of Ananias and Sapphira? What did God think about the sin that Jesus took on the cross? That's number two. Remember the cross and what the love of Christ had to endure there for the sins that we want to keep close. Remember what Jesus had to endure on the cross for these sins. That will bring us to the place where we will want to know that sin and renounce it. When we remember what God thinks about it, and we remember what Jesus went through because of it, it doesn't matter if we're 4 years old or 84 years old, we'll have God's view of sin when we remember those two things. Jeremiah 44:4 gives us an account of what God had told Jeremiah to say. Back up in verse 2, he talks about the evil that's been brought on Jerusalem. In verse 3, he says, because of their wickedness, which they've committed, and that they went to burn incense, that this evil came upon them. In verse 4, God shows his mercy to these people. He says this, "Howbeit I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. Do not this abominable thing that I hate." God hates sin. But, verse 5, "they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear to turn from their wickedness." In verse 10, "they are not humbled even unto this day. Neither have they feared nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers." The Lord pled with his people of Israel, "Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate." I think that's the same pleading that God gives to us still today. Do not this abominable thing that I hate. Charles Tinley was the son of a slave. He wrote a hymn about 100 years ago that I think is still very convicting to us today. Charles Tinley had no education other than what he could get really through self-study. He got a few people to help teach him some things here and there. But at the time of his death, he pastored a church of over 12,000 members right in downtown Philadelphia on Broad Street. He wrote the words for somewhere between 45 and 60 different hymns. He wrote the music for most of those hymns as well. One of the hymns that he wrote has this verse in it. "Nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. There's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior." The son of a slave saw his sin, renounced his sin, let God use him. By the end of his life, the Lord had done a tremendous work with a man who just decided, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Once we've renounced our known sin, think about it. Once we've renounced our known sin, we can pray. We can witness. We can know the power of the Holy Spirit. We abandon that sin. There's nothing between. God can use us. God can do who knows what with us if we take that basic first step, renounce known sin. Lord, I pray that you would bless this very basic, simple thought today. Lord, it's so basic that it's easy to overlook. I ask God that you would stir hearts, stir lives, God, as we think about all that we can do in our Christian lives, all that this church can do. I pray that we would not be found to be being a barrier between this work of soul winning and prayer and raising our families because we're holding on to some silly sin. We won't let go of it. Lord, I pray that you'd make this evening a time where sin and all of its effects can be renounced. We can have that clear, open relationship with you that we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you